It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
This is the Fox News Rundown Extra. I'm Dave Anthony. Today, a story that is as hard to hear as it is compelling. And it's tied to all those protests outside the homes of conservative Supreme Court justices. You've probably seen the footage. Pro-choice activists angry over the leaked draft opinion showing the court poised to overturn the Roe v. Wade ruling that legalized abortions in the U.S. more than 50 years ago in favor of states' rights to restrict a woman's right to choose. Democrats support those protests as free speech. Republicans decry them as intimidation and fear they could turn violent. A worry that is shared by a federal judge, Esther Salas, who presides over a district court in New Jersey. She has a horror story to share. Her son was murdered in an attack at their home. Now, we put that story in the rundown earlier this week, but there is more to it than we were able to include, as the judge also had a lot more to say about the need for security for all judges, not just those Supreme Court justices. So today, we will let you hear it all in the extra. As always, thank you for listening. And now, Judge Esther Salas on the Fox News Rundown Extra. Joining us on the Fox News Rundown is federal judge Esther Salas, who is with the United States District Court for the District of New Jersey, a very personal story dealing with loss and what's happening currently with the protests outside Supreme Court justices' homes and a very contentious abortion issue. Judge, it's an honor for us to have you on the show. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Anthony. Thank you for having me on the show and giving me this opportunity to speak today.
You know, you've seen these protests. They've gone to the different conservative Supreme Court justices' homes. What are you thinking when you're seeing this?
You know, what I'm thinking is that the public debate belongs in the public arena. I really do have concerns about us taking these issues to the personal and private residences of the justices or any judge for that matter. Judges have tough calls to make. Sometimes the calls upset one side or the other or many individuals in between. But we need to be able to do our job without fear of retribution, retaliation, or death. And that requires that we understand some of the boundaries that the rule of law mandates.
You know, Democrats, the White House, they've defended protests as legal and peaceful, and they say they're First Amendment protected. Do you agree with that?
Well, first of all, I don't want to get into the partisan politics of it all, because my issue really is protecting federal judges. And protecting federal judges is not a partisan issue. It is a bipartisan issue. It is an American issue. And one of the things that I like to just keep reminding people is that our rule of law requires that we respect the rule of law, that we follow the rule of law, and that we show the world and the American public that our judges are to be protected, because without our judges, our democracy will fall apart.
Listen to the all-new Brett Baer podcast featuring Common Ground, in-depth talks with lawmakers from opposite sides of the aisle, along with all your Brett Baer favorites like his all-star panel and much more. Available now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, in Congress this week, they are moving to provide extra security to Supreme Court justices, much like members of Congress might have, or say an elected official might have, or the president might have, extra security because of the threat possibly of violence with all these protests. I assume you think that's a good move.
My understanding is that the Supreme Court Police Parity Act of 2022 is before the House now. And what that bill does essentially is grants broader police protection to the immediate family members of the justices and offices of the Supreme Court. That's all it does. So we need to be clear on what this emergent legislation is going to do. It's just going to authorize the United States Marshals and the Supreme Court police the authority to protect immediate family members of the justices. So I want to be clear that that emergent legislation would be unnecessary at this point had they passed the Daniel Anderl Judicial Security and Privacy Act. It would have been unnecessary because the bill that I have been urging the members of Congress to pass for months now would have sealed justices' home addresses, would have sealed federal judges' home addresses, social security information, and other personally identifiable information. So I want to start with that premise, that had we passed this bill months ago, this emergent legislation that is now running through the House and Senate would not have been necessary. And I think we have to think about what makes sense. And what makes sense is protecting all federal judges. And what makes sense is protecting our personally identifiable information, because we know that that information has been and will continue to be used by people wishing to harm us, people wishing to threaten us, people wishing to intimidate us. So let's get that information off let's get that information off the website, and let's keep it sealed to protect our federal judiciary.
All right.
It's just common sense.
You referenced Daniel, the bill named for your son. 2020, I know this is awful for you to even, I'm sure, talk about, but what happened to him happened at your home. Tell us, if you can, what was the situation?
So it was July 19, 2020. We had just finished a birthday weekend celebration for my son. His actual birthday is July 13th. But because of COVID and things that we were trying to work out, we agreed to move his celebration to the weekend after his actual birthday.
And he turned 20, is that right?
He turned 20, and he was so excited because one of the things that my son loved to do was marry the people he loved the most, in the sense that he wanted to marry his family life with his friend life. And so he was so excited to be able to share his birthday with not only his dad and I, but with his best friends from Catholic University of America.
Okay.
So we planned this birthday celebration that started on Friday with a party at the house, tried our best to socially distance everybody. And then, of course, a group of kids left and some stayed, and they went to the beach on Saturday. And then on Sunday, the last friend left at noon. I went to church with Mark. Daniel was very tired from all his festivities, and we decided to give him a pass on his usher duties at our church. So we went to church, came back. He was still resting. At about 4-ish, my husband started to stir because it was time to clean up. And Daniel came down and we began cleaning up the house. And we somehow ended up in the basement. And Daniel and I have, because I still have a very special relationship with my son, even though he's not on earth anymore. But sure. we have a very great relationship. And on July 19th, like every other time before, Daniel was eager to talk to me about his life, what was going on, what concerned him, you know, what things were on his mind. And we were having one of those deep conversations that we always do. And my husband came down to the basement. Dad is his bro. That is the guy he goes to games with. But mom is his true confidant. So yeah. He gave Dad a look like, I'm talking to mom right now.
I totally understand that. I have a son, and we have a very similar story at home. Yeah.
You know, it's the division of labor, you know. And so so at that point, Dad grabbed the water and excused himself. And Daniel turned. He was actually swinging a wiffle ball bat. And he said, "Mom, keep talking to me. I love talking to you." And just as he said that, it was like a cue, a ring doorbell. The doorbell rang. And Daniel's expression changed from, you know, serene and comfort to concern and alarm. And he immediately went, "Who is that?" And before I could stop him, he just bolted up those stairs. His father couldn't even stop him. He was like on a mission. And he opened that door, and little is known about what was exchanged between the shooter and my son. But we do know that according to the FBI, my son was not going to let that man step 1 foot into our foyer.
Oh, my God.
And yeah, Daniel took a direct hit to the chest.
Oh.
And literally fell back with his arms, you know, out in a cross position. And at that point, my husband screamed, "Oh, no." And he started trying to charge the shooter, and the shooter just kept shooting him. Huh. But Mark wouldn't go down. Mark just kept taking the shot, going forward, taking the shot. Mark got hit 3 times, but the bullets hit 5 different parts of his body.
Good grief.
Yeah. So when I heard that, it was like mini bombs going off, mini bombs, because the foyer was a lower ceiling. So it felt like mini bombs.
So you're hearing the shots and the screams, and you're just, I'm in the basement. Wow.
And at that point I scream, "What is happening?" And I run up those stairs, and I didn't know what I was going to see, but what I saw, no mother should ever have to see.
No.
And that was my son, you know, clenching his chest. My husband crawling to the porch, outside the porch, trying to get a license plate. And I just threw myself at the side of Daniel, lifted up his shirt, and saw the bullet hole. And just by then, Mark was crawling back. I didn't realize how hurt Mark was. But we sat there. And as I, you know, I've said to people before, but I'll say to you, Mr. Anthony, you know, as a parent, you watch this life come into the world, and it's such a special moment that everyone can relate to who's a parent in any, you know, and then you're seeing this life fade away. And it is a feeling that one should never have to experience. But when you are experiencing it, you realize the gift that God gives us all.
Wow.
to earth, and to have life, and to have loved ones. And I just look at my life and I say that it's been a gift, and Daniel was a gift to Mark and me. And I am so very grateful.
But I don't even know how you tell that. I mean, I'm having a hard time just listening to it, knowing that, you know, I have a, you know, a son, and, you know, I couldn't imagine what you had to deal with. But that all happened because the gunman was angry at you as a judge.
Yeah. Yeah. It all happened because I was doing my job. And only because I was doing my job, and because of intolerance and hatred and racism and sexism. It happened because of hate and fear. And that's the message that I really hope I can start to spread, which is we need to stop hating each other. Stop being so divided. We need to start being willing to listen to differences of opinion. We need to try to realize that we have to come from places that are more pure, that are more compassionate, that are more kind. We have to be willing to work together to get things done. And that's the frustration that I feel, Mr. Anthony, because, you know, the bill that I'm asking our leaders to pass, it's a bipartisan bill. It's supported by so many Democrats and Republicans. And yet we haven't been able to pass it because partisan politics keeps getting in the way. And, you know, listen, I understand that emotions run high, and I understand that our members of Congress have objectives and goals. But when it comes to America, and when it comes to the oath that we swore to take to uphold our Constitution and to uphold the laws of the United States, I have a hard time understanding how we have to keep throwing up reasons why we can't pass the bill. And they are partisan. They are partisan reasons. The reasons that I have been hearing all these months have to do with politics instead of having to do what's right for the American people.
You know, we're at a very divisive time. Everyone knows that. It's been that way for several years, very much so with the presidential election we had, and who knows what's going to happen in the next one. But we're talking about, with these protests and outside the conservative justices' homes of the Supreme Court, we're talking about as passionate an issue as you can get. And the sides are so dug in, the pro-choice side of the women's right to choose being fundamental, they're dug in so deep on that one, just like the people on the other side who are anti-abortion and believe that babies are being murdered. How can you find a common ground in those two sides? I mean, and the court's in the middle of it.
You know, listen, I mean, obviously, I want to be very careful to comment about an opinion that I don't even know is an opinion just
yet. Sure, I understand that, yeah.
You know, but I think the broader topic is how can we not try to find a common ground? How can we not start trying to work together? How can we not start trying to understand that the rule of law mandates that we follow the law because without the rule of law, we will have anarchy. Without the rule of law, we will have injustice. There are laws that I'm sure we all like more than others. But in order for our country to continue to operate, in order for our country to survive the vitriol and the madness that is going on all over the world, we need to remember that it requires that we compromise, that we reach across the aisle and we work together for the betterment of our country, for the betterment of this world. It isn't going to be easy. It isn't always going to be what we want, but it is a compromise that must be had. And we must remember that the rule of law mandates that we do this. You know, there's a lot going on in the world. And I quite frankly think that we need to sort of take a step back and realize that what we've been doing thus far these past few years isn't working. It isn't working. And we have to be willing to start trusting one another again. We have to stop name calling. We have to stop demonizing somebody who disagrees with you. And we have to start showing the American people, and this I mean to our leaders, that you are willing to lead, even if it means that you're not going to always make your constituents happy. But at least you will show them that our government works and that you are upholding the oath that you took and that you are staying away from the same old political game, and you're standing upright and with justice and with integrity and with respect. That's what I say to our leaders.
Now, the gunman who showed up at your home, he later committed suicide. You moved on and you went back to work and you're still doing your job as a federal judge. How difficult was that for you?
You know, every day is difficult. I don't want to sugarcoat the depths of my grief, and I don't want to minimize what Mark and I have been through. But I will tell you that I am a woman of faith, and I am a spiritual woman. And I have asked every day that God give me the strength to do the best job I can do on a daily basis. I wake up with gratitude every morning. I thank God and Daniel for another day. And I promise them that I'm going to try to be the best version of me that I possibly can be. Sometimes I'm better than others. Sometimes I'm stronger than other times. But I'll tell you what, I'm never without hope. I'm never without faith. And I'm never without my desire to try to help other people. Judges protect their families. This is my meaningful purpose in life now. is to avoid this from ever happening to anyone else. And, you know, I really do think that we are obligated as judicial officers to do our jobs, but we ask that we are respected and not threatened or intimidated or killed in the course of doing our jobs. It's a real simple ask.
Well, you sure have strength, and hopefully nothing happens to anybody in the course of these protests. Judge, you know, Esther Sala, oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, you know, Mr. Anthony, what I ask is that if anything comes across in this message, I want to speak to our leaders, and I want to tell them that I understand that they may want the Daniel Anderle bill to look stronger. They may want something else in there. They may want added protections for congressional members. They may want a million things. But at the end of the day, I'm sure what they really want is to make sure that the rule of law is preserved. And I'm sure what they really want is to avoid ever having to look at a mom and look at a dad and say sorry for your loss.
Well, they're the dogs, just like you said they would be. Yeah. All right.
I urge the passing of this legislation. The time is now. We cannot wait for some other tragedy to befall some poor, unsuspecting family. I just hope this helps.
Judge Esther Salas from the District Court in New Jersey, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Mr. Anthony. God bless.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network. Subscribe and listen to the Trey Gowdy Podcast. Former federal prosecutor and four-term U.S. congressman from South Carolina brings you a one-of-a-kind podcast. Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.
This is Jimmy Fallon, inviting you to join me for Fox Across America, where we'll discuss every single one of the Democrats' dumb ideas. Just kidding. It's only a 3-hour show. Listen live at noon Eastern or get the podcast at foxacrossamerica.com.